Come in. Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall. The title of our drama is General Laughter. Let me explain its derivation. In other times, playwrights often ended their comedic works with the overall stage direction, exit all amid general laughter. That meant that the characters at the finale should joyously troop off the stage the quickest way they could, thus leaving the audience with a warm glow of satisfaction that everything had, after all, turned out all right. However, by so informing you at the start as to our play's title, we by no means intend to reassure you as to its outcome. Our mystery drama, General Laughter, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Elspeth Eric and stars Mercedes McCambridge. It is sponsored in part by True Value Hardware Stores and Buick Motor Division. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
What will a penny buy these days besides a gumball or a one-cent stamp? Well, I'll tell you, it'll buy a 6-foot Lufkin tape measure from your nearby True Value Hardware Store. Hi, Pat Summerall here with the details. When you visit a participating True Value Hardware Store and buy the Lufkin 25-foot power return tape at its regular price of just $6.97, you get a 6-foot slimline tape measure for just 1 cent more. The Lufkin 25-foot tape locks open for easy, accurate measuring. Then it retracts automatically at just a touch of the power return button. The safety yellow blade is easy to read and easy to see, and the rugged chrome case lasts for years. Buy this professional quality tape measure for just $6.97 and get the Lufkin 6-foot slimline household tape for just 1 cent more. Find out just how much a penny is still worth during the Lufkin 1 cent sale at your participating True Value Hardware store. Look under hardware in the yellow pages and remember you can charge it on Master Charge at many stores.
Let me set the scene for you. We are in someone's living room, high on the 11th floor of a modern apartment building. It's an attractive room, tastefully decorated in beige and white with blue accents in the pillows and an occasional chair. There are long windows at one end which give onto a balcony just big enough for two outdoor chairs and a tiny table between them. The kitchenette is at the other end of the room, partially hidden by a serving shelf. In front of the shelf are two high stools. On the shelf is a tape recorder. I want you to listen to this. It only runs about 40 minutes. If it doesn't strike you as the most asinine thing you ever heard, well, I shouldn't say that. I shouldn't call it asinine. That sounds cold and unfeeling, and I honestly don't think I'm that kind of a man. I really don't. But you'll have to admit, after you've heard it, that it isn't exactly the kind of thing a man likes to come home to after a hard day's work. If you can listen to it dispassionately, not become all bogged down by emotion, it'll give you some idea of what was going on. Now, there's nothing for a few seconds. She didn't know too much about setting up a tape recorder, so it takes a little while. You'll see.
I have never recorded anything before, except voiceover commercials, and that was in the studio where they had engineers who took care of all those grubby little details. I've never before had the urge to tape record a suicide. Okay, it works. Things mechanical scare me. I always expect them to blow up right in my face. But then I expect everything to blow up right in my face. I get a part in a play, I expect the theater to burn down. I get a commercial, I expect the company to go out of business. I get a running part on a soap opera I expect to be written out by the end of the week. I think failure. I chase success, but I think failure. So please don't let me fail at this. Whatever saint is in charge of suicide, please, please, please don't let me fail at this. Now, got the 1, 2, 3 bottles of sleeping pills. That ought to do it. I don't know how many pills to take. There's nobody I can call up and ask. I really came to this little rendezvous unprepared. See what I mean? I forgot a glass of water to wash the pills down. Honestly, I'm dumb. I'm dumb, 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 right to the end.
The tape runs on here with nothing for less than a minute. It doesn't take long to get a glass of water. I want you to understand that there was absolutely nothing I could have done to stop this thing. I mean, I'm not God. I have my limitations. Boy, do I ever. There are days when I'm just one big bunch of limitations. Nothing else. When the most I can do is get up, get dressed, and go to work. And when I get to the station house, habit or memory or something will take over because I sure can't. Well, you don't want to listen to my tale of woe. All right, that was the water glass being set down. Now it starts again.
Okay, all set. One big glass of water, 3 little bottles of pills. So, take a pill, madam. Go ahead, take one. Take a lot. Take 2. As my grandmother used to say when she passed the cookies. And we all thought that was terribly funny, no matter how many times we'd heard it before. Take a lot. Take 2. Okay. So I'll take a lot. I'll take 2. That was easy. Now, the purpose of this tape recording is to, it's to record my last thoughts, I guess, if any. Yeah, there are some. And they keep chasing round and round in my brain. Still, what I would like is to tell the truth for once. I have days when I'm not sure I haven't been lying from sunup to sundown. Even my dreams are lies. That's some days. Other days? No. You know what Sarah Siddons wanted chiseled on her tombstone? The words, "I was an honest actress." Just that. Nothing more. Well, I tried to be an honest actress. And now at the very end of my life, I would like to try to be an honest person. You know? I mean, not to hold back anything, just to let it all hang out, as the kids say these days. I don't know why they talk so funny. Why can't they just say, speak the truth? I want you to know that, I want you to know why I have to do this, why I think I'm driven to it. Not that I know why, I don't. But maybe if I keep on talking, something will surface. I've chosen to put this on tape instead of writing it down, because when you write things down, there's always the temptation to go back and read it over and change it, make it look better, make it read better. I don't want to do that. See, what I want is for every word to register precisely as it comes out of my mouth, out of my head. And that's why the tape. So, to begin with, I don't feel anything. Maybe a little music could help. Wish I had a record of Peggy Lee's. Is that all there is? That'd be perfect. That'd be the absolutely perfect thing for right now. Is that all there is? Is that all there is? If that's all there is, my friend, let's keep dancing. I ought to have that record. I could go down to the store and get it right now. No. That's an excuse not to go through with this. You're dodging and ducking just the way you've always dodged and ducked. Is that all there is? Is that all there is?
If that's all there is, my friend, it isn't enough. If that's all there is, it isn't enough. I can't go on any longer.
Who was that Hollywood mogul who said in the ambulance on the way to the hospital, he said he looked up at his wife and he said, it's too tough, it's just too tough, and he died right then and there, he died. I think it was Harry Cohn who said that. Well, Harry Cohn, I'm with you.
I'm crying. What am I crying for, Harry Cohn? I never even met Harry Cohn. I was never in Hollywood. I was always a New York actress. New York actresses are devoted to the theater. I couldn't go to Hollywood. I had to stay here where the theater was. That was the reason. That and the fact that Hollywood never made me an offer. It's truth-telling time, all right. I never had a decent offer anywhere. What's more, the last time I saw anybody about any kind of a part in the theater was almost 6 months ago. A little pipsqueak of a producer nobody ever heard of said to me, I see nothing for you in my first three productions. Jiminy. So I am reduced to parts on daytime television where I never know the lines, not really, no matter how hard I study them. And I know what he'd say. He'd say, nobody's forcing you to be an actress. Of course, as usual, he's right. Only I know that as long as I live, I'll never be able to stop trying. Ergo, stop living. Which brings me right back to where I started, with the pills. Why don't I feel sleepy, at least? I don't. I feel wide awake and I feel... hungry. Oh, no. I can't feel hungry. Nobody in the process of taking her own life ought to be hungry. Now, that's too much. That's embarrassing. Nevertheless.
Time out here for a minute or so. It's true. I did used to say, nobody's forcing you to be an actress. I admit it. I wasn't always sympathetic. Actually, I hardly ever was. Because to begin with, it's always seemed to me that being an actress is nine-tenths suffering and hardly any joy at all. In fact, you have to be pretty much of a masochist to even think about being an actress. All that being rejected over and over and over again, I know I couldn't stand it. I wouldn't stand it. I'd kill somebody first and go to jail. Here she starts up again.
Two saltines. That shouldn't interfere with anything. And I'll think better if my stomach isn't empty, maybe. I suppose if you feel hungry, you don't really want to die. That's what all the smart people would say. They'd say, don't be silly. If you can eat two saltines, you can go on living. Well, smart people, poo-poo to you. It's not so easy to end everything. It's not easy at all. And maybe that's my last message to the world. If you think ending it all is a snap, you better think again and think hard, because that's what it is, hard. Isn't just slipping out of the world the way you slip out of a room at a party you found boring? Why don't I feel something? Drowsiness or wooziness or something. I never felt so clear-headed in my life. Oh, I feel something. I didn't even eat the second cracker. Didn't eat any breakfast, no lunch. I ought to feel something. Oh, Lord. They're not going to trick me up on this, too. Not the last gesture of my life. They're not going to make this ridiculous, too. Like everything else, they're not going to make me a failure in this, too. I won't stand for that. I won't. I'll take the rest of the pills. I'll take all of the pills. Where's the bottle? The other bottle. This one's empty. What does it say there? One capsule three times a day for longer, stronger nails? What nails? Oh, no. Oh, no. I've been taking gelatin capsules. Gelatin to make my nails grow. Oh, no. I couldn't be that dumb. I'm not that dumb. Silly gelatin things have been in the medicine cabinet for years. That's just too much, trying to kill myself with gelatin. I can't even do it right when it comes to something like... I can almost laugh myself. Well, anyhow, when I do finally bump myself off, I'll probably have nice long nails. Lovely corpse, beautiful nails. That's the old joke about the two men looking at their friend in the coffin, and one says, he looks wonderful, and the other one says, why shouldn't he? He just got back from Florida. That's a joke. That's a real joke. I wonder if somebody will look at my dead body and say she has lovely nails, and somebody else say, why not? She just took a whole bottle of gelatin pills. Gee, I hope so. I hope somebody says that, because that's really pretty funny. I'd laugh myself, only I seem to be crying. And I am so tired.
Once upon a time, a poet wrote, I am tired of tears and laughter, and men that laugh and weep. Of what may come hereafter for men that sow and reap. I am weary of days and hours, blown buds of barren flowers, desires and dreams and powers, and everything but sleep. Shortly with Act Two.
When you say but, you've said a lot of things nobody else can say. When you say but, you've gone as far as you can go to get the very best. You've said the world that means you like to do it all. When you say but, you say you care enough to only walk the king of fears. There is no other one, there's only something left, because the king of fears is leading all the rest. When you say but, Weiser. You've said it.
Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis.
Hey, ma'am, what's for dinner? Hey, ma'am, what you got?
What's for dinner? ShopRite suggests Armour Franks. Beef, grill, or regular, just 89 cents a pound. What's for breakfast? ShopRite's good morning ideas include ShopRite English muffins, package of 12, 49 cents. ShopRite grade AA butter, 1 pound solid brick, 89 cents. ShopRite midget pork roll, 1.5 pound roll for $1.69. ShopRite frozen orange juice, 12 ounce can, 37 cents. Plan your menus around ShopRite values. You'll save on every meal at your nearest ShopRite store.
New York in the 1890s. Mr. Louis Sherry's New York, a city of elegance. If J.P. Morgan wanted to dine in the style to which he was accustomed, he'd go to Mr. Louis Sherry's celebrated restaurant.
Good evening, sir.
The highlight of dinner at Sherry's was the ice cream dessert. Louis Sherry's ice cream still has that old-fashioned flavor, yet none of today's additives. It's made only from real cream, milk, pure cane sugar, egg yolks. Natural flavor, no artificial anything. You'll see that we haven't lost our taste for old-fashioned elegance. Mr. Louis Sherry's ice cream. The natural flavor of the 1890s in the 1970s. We left our desolate heroine between tears and laughter.
Midway in the supposed act of taking her own life, she discovered that the bottle she had thought held sleeping pills contained instead gelatin capsules. Gelatin to make the nails grow long. This is a most distressing discovery to make when one has embarked on the drastic enterprise of suicide. We pick up her story where she left off, between tears and laughter.
Now I have to start the whole silly business all over again because I took the wrong pills. But these little fellas, these are the right ones, because it says right on the bottle, one capsule as needed for sleep. That's what it says, so I'm not wrong this time. Only I drank up all the water, see? It's always something. Now I gotta get some more water.
Let me tell you, I haven't been married to an actress for 12 years without learning something. You know, people generally think actors are very conceited, always showing off, always looking for applause. That's only partly true. The rest of the truth is that their little egos are so shaky that the only way they can get through life is by pretending to be somebody else. They can't wait to stop being themselves and start being some other person. I don't understand that. I never have, I never will, but I swear to you it's true. What I said about actors is true, and don't forget it. They're shadow people, living in the light of the imaginary people that they pretend to be. Personally, I think that's very sad.
I have everything a woman is supposed to want. Lovely apartment, lovely furniture, lovely children. I see, isn't that terrible? I put my furniture ahead of my children. I put this damn apartment and the rotten furniture ahead of my children in my list of worldly blessings. That just goes to show you, I'm a lousy mother. I'm a lousy wife. Gee, I ought to start to feel something pretty soon. And in the meantime, some music. I meant to put on some music. Why didn't I do that? Why don't I do that now?
I don't know what all this guff about being a rotten wife and mother is meant to be. Actually, I don't know what a wife or a mother is supposed to be. All I know is the kids seem happy, and I'm happy. Happy? What am I saying happy? I don't even know what happy is. I think I'm happy. I don't feel unhappy. Not often, anyway. Not too often. So I guess I'm happy. I know the kids are. I mean, they look happy. I never ask them, are they happy? It's not the kind of question you ask. Anyway, I never asked them, never asked myself either. Never asked anybody. I mean, do you go around asking people, are you happy?
Well,
back to the tip.
We'll see if the music helps. What's going to happen to my children? Well, they don't need me. They're past needing me. Well, the real truth, the real bottom line truth is that I want to be what my children are. I want to be helpless and dependent and taken care of. I want somebody to bring me food and put on my clothes and take them off and wash them and iron them. I want somebody to be responsible for me because I'm just not capable. That's all. I just can't do it anymore. Oh, no. Ah, now my mascara's running. My eyes hurt. I probably look terrible, all smeared. I don't want to be a lovely corpse with long nails and smeared mascara. That's funny. Well, anyway, like it or not, I'm not going to wash my face and I'll put on fresh mascara. If it is the last thing I ever do.
There's a long pause here for the mascara bit. Crazy, isn't it? I mean, putting on fresh mascara to look attractive, dead. Well, you heard it. You heard the tape. What do you think? I mean, you know, you read books, you see plays and movies, whatever, and the suicide is always, well, I don't know. I mean, it's kind of solemn. It's very dramatic. I mean, at least it's always like that in books and films. It's never trivial or clumsy or ludicrous, never. Seems to me life is full of pathetic things. I know my life is. Things that make you look foolish instead of tragic. Insignificant when you want to look impressive. More than I ever admit. More than anybody ever admits. Why don't they? Why don't I? Vanity. That's why. Just simple human vanity. And that's why this tape is very important to me. I think it should pick up again right about now.
I just sit right here and put on this dumb mascara. Oh, boy. My hands are shaking. Oh, for Pete's sake, I can't use the drinking water to dip the brush in. Now I gotta have warmer water. I tell you, it's not easy, this. It's not easy at all to leave this earth.
You see what I mean? Silly things like warmer water. I mean, it's childish, isn't it? I don't mean that it isn't serious. I don't mean to put anybody down if they've got to the point where life is so hard that they'd even think of something like suicide. But life is hard. It's hard for everybody. I don't care who you are, rich, poor, famous, unknown. It's hard. Just like on the tape, it's tough. And I guess sometimes for some people it's just too tough. You know, I have often thought that maybe the best thing you can do for a child is to warn him that life is very tough. So it won't come as a terrible shock to him later on. I don't know, maybe life for a youngster is tough too, and he's just pretending, like you are, to have it by the tail. Maybe that's the truth. I don't know why I never thought of that before. But you see now why I feel this tape is very important?
I have never felt a bigger fool than I do right now. But I don't care. Set up the mirror. Wet the little brush. Here we go.
You want to know something? I spent a lot of time working on dope addiction in my precinct. It's a terrible thing, dope addiction. Terrible. But it doesn't surprise me anymore that people get addicted. What surprises me is that some people don't. That's the amazing thing, that most people stumble along from cradle to grave with no outside help at all. That's what surprises me, that most people can do it. We really ought to be more sympathetic to one another, seeing that we're all in the same boat. We ought to care more. That's what it comes down to, I think. We should have more feeling. We should quit trying to be so smart and feel more. I'm starting to cry myself. Well.
There's one eye done. How many times has he watched me put on mascara and said, "You don't need that stuff." And I said, "Yes, I do." And he said, "No, you don't." And then we were off and running again. I could just jump off the balcony, 11 stories up. That'd be quick. That'd be easy. Yeah, that's the idea. I could leave him a note. What could I say to my dear husband? Just stepped out for a minute. I can't say that. Oh, what's the matter with me? I'm trying to be flip. I'm trying to be funny. I'm crazy. I must be crazy. I feel it, really. I'm out of my mind. Lord, what am I going to do now? Oh, I know. I know what I'll do. 4, 6.
Precinct.
Is that you?
Yeah. Yeah, this is me. What's up?
Oh, listen to me. Listen carefully. Are you listening carefully?
Sure, baby. What's the matter?
Well, I've been trying for an hour and a half to kill myself.
What? You trying to do what?
K-
kill myself.
Honey, don't kid around.
I'm not kidding around.
Baby, listen to me. Now, talk a little slower or something, will you? I'm not reading it at all, honey.
Okay. I have decided to kill myself.
Yeah?
And I got all the stuff here, all the sleeping pills. I took one whole bottle of pills.
All right, go on.
Only they turned out to be gelatin pills that I bought to make my nails grow.
Well, did you take any pills at all? I mean, besides the gelatin?
Oh, sure.
How many?
I don't know. Who cares how many?
Well, I'd just like to know.
What's the difference? I've decided now that I'm going to jump out the window.
Honey, sweetheart, please, honey.
So I thought that I was going to leave you a note. I mean, not just jump and not leave you anything.
Anyhow. Keep talking.
I wanted to write you a note, see, a farewell note, you know.
Yeah, just keep talking to me, honey.
And, I tried to think of what I could say. I thought I'd write down the first thing that came into my head.
Yeah?
Well, the first thing that came into my head, and I could see the words like headlines on a front page of a newspaper. I could see them there. I could see the words, you know, I could see them. Boy, I'm getting woozy.
All right. Just keep talking to me, honey. Tell me, what were the words? What came to mind?
I don't know if I could tell you.
No, you can tell me.
No, I don't
think... Well, you must have wanted to tell me or you wouldn't have called, honey. Now, what were they?
Okay. If I tell you and you laugh, I'll kill you.
Tell me.
Promise you won't laugh.
If it's funny, I might laugh. Come on. What were the words?
I was going to write... Just stepped out for a minute.
Well, that's pretty funny. Everything considered.
Are you laughing?
Yeah, kinda.
I told you I'd kill you.
It's all right if you kill me, honey. But leave yourself alone, please.
Listen, I'm gonna hang up now, see?
Now, baby, talk to me, do you hear?
No.
Listen to me, I'm not laughing. I mean, didn't you mean for me to laugh when you called up?
All right, listen.
Think, huh? I mean, you know you can always make me laugh. That's one reason I fell in love with you, honey. You made everything so easy to take.
No,
are you listening to me, darling?
No. I'm getting sleepy. I have to hang up.
No. Don't hang up now. Don't hang up.
Is there anyone whose ego has never despaired, who has never been overwhelmed by the sensation of helplessness and the inability to go on with the arduous business of living? Even some animals, we are told, faced with unbearable pain or unbearable loss, stop taking nourishment and rather quickly die. Back shortly with Act 3.
Isn't it nice to know you're free? To see the things you want to see. To touch the heights you dare to reach. To know you're all that you can be.
Need a full-size car? Well, you came to the right place. Take LeSabre, a genuine family car with lots of nifty Buick touches and room for six. Or the elegant Electra, the car that wrote the book on Buick luxury. Or Riviera, the luxury car that's also a great personal road car. The full-size Buicks. If you're looking for a place where you and your free spirit can really get together, this is it.
Do you know about the new ways to relieve tension, sinus problems, aging symptoms? Do you know about the surgeon who uses vitamin E to help people with circulation problems? If you don't know, you probably don't know Prevention, America's largest health magazine. All this vital information has appeared recently in Prevention. And each month, over 1.5 million subscribers depend on Prevention for the same kind of helpful information about living healthier, happier, longer lives. Try Prevention for yourself. 12 issues, only $5.85. And the editors will also send you the Good Health Cooking Guide free. To order Prevention, send no money now. Just phone 757-5650 in New York.
That's 212-757-5650. Uptown call collect. Or write Prevention, WOR, New York, 10018. If you don't like the first issue, cancel and keep the issue and the free cooking guide. You'll owe nothing. But do phone today, 757-5650 for Prevention. If yours has been a generous measure of gracious living, your senior years should be lived in a grand manner, too, and they are at the Cupola, the ultimate in senior citizens' facilities, conveniently located in Paramus, New Jersey. At the Cupola, living quarters are private, of course. Each is kitchenette-equipped and available unfurnished or furnished. Yes, the grand manner of living is alive at the Cupola, with gift, barber and beauty shops, card and game rooms, libraries, a theater, maid service 7 days a week, planned activities, three superb meals a day from a diversified menu, a fully staffed infirmary right on the premises, and every convenience, including the famous Paramus Ridgewood shopping hubs. The Maloney family, owners and managers, invite you to discover this truly distinctive senior citizens facility for yourself. Visit the Cupola at West 100 Ridgewood Avenue in Paramus, or call 201-444-8200. Or, if you prefer, write for their free color brochure. The Cupola. Make the next years the very best years of your life.
Our unhappy heroine has determined to do away with herself. In addition, to record her thoughts on tape during the process of self-destruction. Firm though her intent may have been at the start, she has run into difficulties. Difficulties of her own making, to be sure, but nonetheless, effective little roadblocks.
Somebody in there? Anybody home? It's Harry from downstairs. The doorman, Harry. You want to let me in? I'm using the pass key in case you... Anybody home? Your husband called me, told me to come up here. Anybody home? What's that noise? I hear something. Well, you know, a tape recorder. What's that on for? It must be some reason. Somebody turned it on and went out. That's not like... Love a... Lady, what is it? You faint or what? Oh, she's breathing. She's not dead. What do I do? Call the super. House phone. We're in the kitchen. Yeah. Call the super. Oh, boy. Hey, Mr. Shattuck, this is Harry. I'm an 11K. Listen, there's a lady. Yeah, the lady that lives here. I don't know her name. They're new in the building. Listen, her husband called me a while back, said to come up here, see if there was anything wrong. Oh, she's passed out on the floor. I think she's sick. She fainted or something. There's a tape recorder going. You know, she's some kind of an actress. What do I do now? Call a doctor? Well, her husband's a police lieutenant. Do I call him? Well, maybe I better, huh? Oh, Mr. Shattuck, I think I hear somebody at the door. Yeah, I do. Maybe it's him.
Harry?
I hope so. It's him, Mr. Shattuck.
Harry.
It's your wife. She's fainted or something. See, over there?
Good Lord.
And this tape recorder was running when I came in.
Turn it off, Harry. Unplug it.
Well, that's what went on while you were passed out, honey. That's the end of the tape. What do you think,
Terrible. Terrible.
Oh, I don't know.
I do.
I just thought you should hear it.
Terrible.
Why? Why is it terrible?
Because I couldn't do it.
You sure tried.
And I couldn't do it. I loused up the whole thing.
Mm.
I couldn't even take my own life. I couldn't even do that right. I never do anything right.
Oh, come on now. I don't know about that.
Well, I do.
No, you don't. Lots of things you don't know.
You can say that again. Why didn't you just let me die?
Oh, come on. I couldn't do that. I'm a policeman.
Oh, what's that got to do with it?
Well, killing yourself is against the law.
You're kidding.
No, not. On the statute books. Nobody is supposed to commit suicide. It's illegal.
What do they do? Send you to jail? Give you the death penalty? Suicide is punishable by death
How do you like that?
You feeling a little better, honey?
Oh, I think so.
Kids will be home from school pretty soon.
Oh, don't tell them.
Oh, no.
No. I mean, they wouldn't understand. They're too young.
There's somebody at the door.
Better see who it is.
You be all right?
Sure, I'll be all right. Go on. Go ahead. Don't worry.
I'll get rid of them. Come right back.
Take your time.
Coming, coming. Oh, hello, Harry.
Is she all right?
She's fine, Harry.
Oh, that's good. We were worried, Mr. Shattuck and I.
Shattuck?
Super. I was talking to him before you came in.
Oh, well, you're very nice to be concerned. So's he.
Everybody here likes your wife. We all like her a lot.
That's good. I'll tell her.
You and her haven't lived here very long, but everybody likes you both, especially her, because she's so cheerful, you know?
Cheerful?
Yeah. Always got a little joke going, you know, some little joke. It livens up the day.
Yeah.
Yeah, some people are so, well, so frozen-faced, you know, so kind of sour, but not your wife. She's always smiling, making some kind of a joke. It livens up the day.
I'll tell her what you said.
She's really all right.
Fine.
Oh, good. Well, when I saw that tape recorder running, I figured, well, she was rehearsing something. I know she's an actress. Was she rehearsing something?
Well, kind of.
And there was a saltine lying there beside the tape recorder. Maybe that's all she'd had to eat, and she felt faint, you know, something like that.
Yeah, it was something like that.
Yeah. Well, you tell her I'm glad she's okay.
I'll tell her.
I'd hate for anything to happen to her. Her and her little jokes.
Yeah, well, thanks. Thanks very much, Harry. I'll tell her. Honey?
Yeah?
There's a doorman. Harry.
What do you want?
He want to know how you are.
Oh, that was nice of him.
He said to tell you that he wouldn't want anything to happen to you. You and your little jokes.
Jokes? What jokes?
He said you made little jokes.
I don't remember any little jokes.
Said they liven up his day.
He tells me I'm too thin. I tell him he's too fat. We kid back and forth. That's all. They're no jokes.
Well, to him, I guess they're jokes. Anyway, they liven up his day.
Well, I'm glad.
He likes you.
How do you know?
He said so. He said Mr. Shattuck likes you, too.
Mr. Shattuck?
Yeah, super.
Well, what do you know?
I like him.
You do?
A lot.
Well, I should.
Yeah. I like your little jokes. They liven up my day.
No, you're kidding me now. You're trying to make me laugh.
Is that such a bad thing to do?
No. I guess not.
Well, who's that? The kids, huh?
No, they wouldn't ring the bell. They got keys.
I'll be right back. You okay?
Yeah, I'm okay.
Coming. Oh, Harry.
I forgot something. Got all the way downstairs and I remembered. Here.
What's this?
Some cinnamon buns from Mrs. Shattuck. I was saying your wife is so thin, I keep telling her. I think she fainted today because she never eats enough. So Mrs. Shattuck said, here, I should bring her these.
Oh, well, that's really very nice. Very nice. Gee, thanks. I'll call Mrs. Shattuck later and thank you. Thank you. Thank you both very much.
I hope everything's all right.
Oh, sure. Thanks a lot. Thanks, Harry. Honey?
Who was it?
It was Harry again. He brought you something. From Mrs. Shattuck. Cinnamon buns.
Oh, no. How can they be so nice? They're so nice.
Now, all right, come on now.
They're so nice and I'm so terrible.
No, darling.
I can't stand it.
You just think you're the worst person in the whole world, don't you?
I know it.
Well, you're not.
Oh, you don't know.
No, you're not, because I am.
You?
Yes.
You don't gripe all the time and complain and hate everybody and wish that they'd all go away and leave you alone and not keep expecting things of you. Expecting love when you haven't got any to give. When you're just barely holding yourself together to keep from screaming. You're not like that.
How do you know?
Because you're not.
But you know, there's some nights when I come home and you're here and I look at you and I can't think who you are.
You're kidding.
No. I mean, it comes to me a little later, but for a minute there, maybe I'm so bogged down with work and not doing it right and being scared all the time.
You're scared.
And I see this woman fussing around in the kitchen, and sometimes it takes me 2-3 minutes to realize that it's you and that we're married.
You never told me that.
Well, I guess maybe I thought you'd hate me if I told you.
Hate you?
Yeah. And you know, sometimes when you say to me, do you love me? You mean you say that quite a lot, you know.
I know.
Well, there are times when you say, do you love me? And I say, of course, or sure, I love you.
And I never believe it.
Sometimes it isn't true.
It isn't true.
I mean that right at that very moment, maybe it isn't true. Right then, maybe I don't love you. And what I should say is, well, not this instant, but ask me again and maybe in 20 minutes or ask me tomorrow and then I'll probably love you. That's what I should say, but I'm afraid. I'm afraid I'll hurt your feelings and make everything worse.
Yeah, but that's funny.
It is?
Yeah, I'd understand that.
You really like it when things are funny, don't you?
Well, it makes things a little easier.
You know, honey, I'm sorry that I'm not funny. I never was.
Oh, that's all right.
I don't know any jokes. I mean, some people know jokes. Other people don't. I mean, you know jokes. You make jokes with the doorman, with anybody.
Wait, but that's nothing.
Wait. You know, I just thought of one.
All right.
I think it's the first joke I ever heard in my life. Let me see if I can. How's it go now?
Oh, it's all right. You know.
No, I got it. There's this man who comes running into his doctor's office, you see? And he says to his doctor, I've got Bright's disease, and he's got mine.
That's funny.
Do you like it?
Yeah.
I mean, he says to his doctor,
I don't,
you know.
I don't explain it. I understand it. He says, I got Bright's disease, and he's got mine.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, that's funny. That's... Is it really the first joke you ever heard?
Oh, years ago.
And you haven't heard any since?
Well, not that I remember.
Boy, that's sad. Only one joke in your whole life.
I don't care. How do you feel now?
Better.
You look better.
Well, I had a good cry and I heard a good joke.
You don't want to die anymore, do you?
Not right this minute. Ask me again tomorrow.
Honey...
I'm so miserable.
I know you are. Sure you are.
I feel so lost.
Oh. Darling, honey, you think maybe if you gave up the acting business...
What?
You...
Give it up. Listen here, I played Medea, Euripides. How could I give it up?
Okay.
I was only in a gymnasium in Omaha, but I got great notices.
All right, okay.
In the first scene, Medea says to the Corinthian women, she says, I am desolate, alone, and alien here. I know just how you feel, Medea.
Yes, so do I think.
No wonder I was good in the part. Oh, what am I going to do?
Honey, why don't you ask that nice policeman, the one you live with? He probably won't have the answer, but he'll tell you that he loves you. Maybe that's the answer. Maybe it isn't. But it's probably the only one you'll ever get.
I'll buy that. I guess I can get along on that. For today, anyhow. Ask me again tomorrow.
The great philosopher Friedrich Nietzsche, who died at the start of this century, who had such great aspirations for mankind and such disappointment in himself that he went mad, he had this to say about thoughts of suicide, that they were a way to get you through the night. True or not, profound or not, comforting or not, it's still an amusing way of looking at the whole problem, don't you think? Or do you? I'll be back shortly.
It's the one on your mind.
Of a Milky Way bar, you get chewy golden caramel, luscious nougat, and thick creamy milk chocolate. And that's 100% real milk chocolate, nothing less. Milky Way is quality through and through. Look for the big fun-size bags when you shop. And bring home something really delicious for the family.
It's the one on your mind. It's the one on your mind.
Pontiac Grand Prix, one of the great names in luxury automobiles. And now, one of the most affordable of all the great cars. Pontiac's Grand Prix, a superbly comfortable high-performance car at a new lower price. A price so low that the Grand Prix now costs only $125 more than a comparable Chevrolet Monte Carlo, or $81 less than a comparably equipped Ford Elite. All prices based on manufacturer suggested retail prices for comparably equipped cars, not including destination charges, state and local taxes. The new affordable Grand Prix. One more reason your New York, New Jersey Pontiac dealers say, if you haven't talked to a Pontiac dealer, you haven't shopped for a car.
If they haven't talked to a Pontiac dealer, you haven't shopped for a car.
One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, Barry Lyndon, and Dog Day Afternoon. These are leading contenders for Oscars at the 48th Annual Academy Awards presentation, March 29th. And they're films I recommended here on WR's Rambling with Gambling program at the time they opened in New York last year. I'm Walter Spencer. Join me at 9:20 each Monday, Wednesday, and Friday morning when I review the new films, and again at the same time each Saturday when I sum up the pictures playing in the neighborhoods and suburbs. Get late word on the best and the worst of the new movies. That way you can keep up with Hollywood and ahead of Oscar.
Our cast included Mercedes McCambridge, Mandel Kramer, and Sam Gray. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, brewers of Budweiser.
This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
Tonight's Mystery Theater was also brought to you in part by ShopRite Supermarkets, where you get a lot more for a little less. The preceding program was furnished by CBS Radio. Your dial is set for 15 minutes of late news with John Scott reporting from the 710 newsroom.
American politicians may still be reverberating from the tremors of yesterday's New Hampshire primary. Keep your radio fixed right where it is. Let's meet some people who were genuinely, terminally shaken. Eyewitness report from the Guatemala earthquake right here on the Barry Farber Show after the news on WOR New York.
President Ford analyzing New Hampshire results. Psychiatrist ends his testimony in the Patty Hearst case. Defense may question him further. Moreland Commission chairman says Rocky has to take the blame in the nursing home scandals. It's 61 degrees in clear mid-Manhattan. The man says fair and mild tonight. The low in the middle 40s, partly sunny and unseasonably mild tomorrow. The high in the middle 60s. This is John Scott with the 8 o'clock edition of the news. President Ford is to meet this evening with members of his campaign staff to discuss the impact of yesterday's New Hampshire primary election. Mr. Ford narrowly defeated GOP challenger Ronald Reagan, and Reagan claims the outcome, 51-49%, represents a victory for him. But the White House says delegates are more important, and Mr. Ford won 17 of New Hampshire's 21 delegates to the Republican National Convention. White House News Secretary Ron Nesson says the president plans no basic change in his campaign strategy and will spend most of his time in the White House. Reagan disclosed today he's worth just under $1.5 million, but he declined to itemize the sources of his income. The president has released a more detailed report, giving his net worth at about one-third of $1 million. On the Democratic side of yesterday's race, Jimmy Carter explains why he won in yesterday's primary.
And I think one of the reasons that I have been successful so far, without predicting anything about the future, is that I formed an intimate personal relationship with the voters themselves, and I think the voters feel that very deeply, that while I'm in the campaign, I'm one of them, and when I get into the White House, there won't be this impenetrable barrier between the average voter and the President of the United States.
The House Government Information Subcommittee has begun contempt action against five federal agents. The five refused to testify today on the interception of cables for intelligence purposes. They say they were ordered not to testify for by Attorney General Edward Levy and the fifth by Deputy Defense Secretary William Clemens. The Social Security Administration has made public for the first time a list of doctor groups and corporations that received more than $50,000 from Medicare in 1974. But names of individual doctors are still withheld. The list shows the largest payout going to Radiology Associates of Philadelphia, which operates out of the Albert Einstein Medical Center. The list was released under the Freedom of Information Act. The Senate has approved a bill that would increase daylight savings time this year and next to 7 months from the present 6 months, but the change appears unlikely to become law because of inaction in the House. Backers of more daylight savings time say it saves energy. Opponents argue it endangers school children and inconveniences farmers who would have to begin their day in darkness. A psychiatrist who examined Patricia Hearst shot it in court today in disagreement with her prosecution. Assistant U.S. Attorney David Bancroft was trying to show a connection between Miss Hearst's desire for individuality and her tape recordings as Tanya of the Symbionese Liberation Army. But Dr. L.J. West denied that one led to the other. The psychiatrist said before her SLA kidnapping, Miss Hearst had expressed what he termed a normal desire of a young person to become an individual. He continued that the tapes contained, in his words, the crassest perversion of individuality. Dr. West's testimony has ended after 3 days of government cross-examination, but the Hearst defense team suggests it will have lengthy redirect questioning for him as well. Richard Nixon got evidence today that the man chosen by the late Chinese Premier Zhou Enlai to succeed him is in disgrace. The former president, visiting mainland China, was shown wall posters referring to first vice premier Deng Xiaoping, and the chairman of Tsinghua University's Revolutionary Committee described Tang as a capitalist rotor who does not want to correct his mistakes. The WOR News Time, it's 4 minutes past eight. Chairman Morris Abram of the state's Moylanac Commission says Vice President Nelson Rockefeller must take the blame for the nursing home scandal that developed and blossomed while he was New York's governor. Abram charges that Rockefeller and several other top New York political figures were part of a political system that failed aged patients in nursing homes throughout the state. The other names mentioned by Abram included Attorney General Louis Lefkowitz, Assembly Speaker Stanley Steingott, Assemblyman Albert Blumenthal, and State Senator John Markey. Meanwhile, the chairman of the New York Assembly Ethics Committee pleaded innocent today to criminal charges that he attempted to buy off a potential primary election challenger. The indictments were obtained by Special Nursing Home Prosecutor Charles Hines against Bronx Democratic Assemblyman Alan Hochberg. WOR's Roger Skibanis has more on the story.
Prosecutor Hines explained that he obtained jurisdiction of the Hochberg case because it developed on information obtained through his office bearing on an investigation into the nursing home industry. The information which led to the indictment today came from Charles Rosen. Rosen is known by thousands in the Bronx as the leader of the Co-op City rent strike. Furthermore, Hines explained that while Hochberg had allegedly committed wrongdoing in several counties, the best case against the defendant was developed in Albany County. After conferring with Attorney General Louis Lefkowitz, the Albany DA agreed to be superseded. In a related part of the story, Hines indicated that he was upset with the news conferences by Defendant Hochberg that he, Hochberg, was being unfairly accused, and that Hochberg vilified Rosen, who cooperated with his office. Hines continued.
In addition, Mr. Hochberg said that he had no opportunity to testify before the grand jury. That is untrue. He was asked if he wished to testify before the grand jury, and he said he would only if he was immunized. That request was rejected. Mr. Hochberg said that we refused to speak to witnesses that he had. The fact of the matter is he refused to give us the names of those witnesses. Mr. Hochberg implied that Mr. Rosen was the subject of a wiretap, which would imply that Mr. Rosen was captured and then agreed to testify. The fact of the matter is, and since Mr. Hochberg has laid it on the public record, I want to straighten that record. The fact of the matter is that Mr. Rosen, who cooperated with this investigation, agreed to wear a body recorder.
This is Roger Skibanis reporting for WOR News.